beginnings. Every man's life is a fairy tale written by God's fingers. Quote by Hans Christian Andersen. Here's the summary. This is my story, the story of my beginnings, my youth, and my years of growth. It is not all happy, nor is it all sad. It is life, my life. And you may be surprised to find in my life a lot of you. For you see, we really are very much the same. My name is Thomas D. Wilhite. I am the founder of SciWorld, a nonprofit service and research-oriented corporation. SciWorld owns itself. It is not owned by me or anyone. I serve it as best as I can. Currently, I am chairman of its board of trustees. I am also president and owner of a company called PSI Inc., People Synergistically Involved Inc. PSI Inc. is a profit-making corporation which teaches and markets a variety of self-improvement courses to the public, industry, business world, government, and various other institutions. The PSI courses you have taken are taught by this profit-making corporation. Voluntarily, out of profits, PSI Inc. supports the nonprofit corporation to the maximum extent allowed under the laws of the United States. PSI Inc. is SciWorld's principal source of revenue at the present time. I and many of the other executives also personally give to SciWorld. Many people mistakenly think SciWorld supports me. This is not so. Through PSI Inc., other corporations and investments, I support SciWorld. SciWorld does not in any monetary way support me or my family. In return for PSI Inc.'s support, SciWorld develops materials and conducts research relevant to courses taught. In addition, SciWorld sponsors numerous projects to serve mankind. SciWorld has a very small staff, thus nearly all of its resources go directly to produce results, developing materials, supporting an orphanage, research and development of prison rehabilitation programs, energy conservation, developing new energy sources, research into human potential, and development and support of educational programs. Between these two, SciWorld and PSI Inc., there is synergy. PSI Inc. offers avenues for individual growth and prosperity based on individual results, while SciWorld offers ways to serve humanity through giving with no thought of return. Both share the goal of peace, liberty, and prosperity for mankind. One approaches the goal through the free enterprise system and individual initiative. The other, by lending a helping hand where needed. I tell you this now, at the very beginning, so that you can better understand how you, I, and the various PSI staff members fit together. I want you to understand clearly that my lifestyle is not accomplished at the sacrifice of the Psy Dream and cause. Rather, the Psy Dream moves ahead because I and others support that dream with our money, effort, and love. Every donation made, every hour volunteered, even every positive word spoken about Psy help create the dream. You have helped, or you would not be listening to these tapes. You are part of the Psy Dream. You are the Psy Dream. Thank you. The above paragraphs really are the end of my story. They reveal where I am now. I have wealth, power, and most importantly, liberty. I have most of the things most people would like. I did not start with any of these things. I did not inherit any of these things. I was not given any of these things. I created them. I created them with my mind, with the thoughts I chose to think. I created them by conscious choice. My future, likewise, will be the result of conscious choice. To think is to create. This is the essence of the message, not only in this book, but in all books that compromise these manuscripts. I use my life story as an illustration to demonstrate the power each person holds to create his life in the way of his choice. You might be thinking to yourself at this point, well, I'm a bit too old to change a whole lot. Or, I'm not the right sex or color or physical build to really make it big. The truth is that these are excuses to avoid responsibility. You are the right age, color, IQ, sex, and physical build to create an exciting, happy, successful, and wonderful life. You are right to make it big and to make it great. Now, you are as right as you will ever be. You create your life as you choose, both now and in the future. Know you can have a life of liberty, like mine, if you choose. Look at my life and see your life. Look at what I did and see what you can do. For if I can, you can. If I can create wealth, you can create wealth. If I can create liberty, you can create liberty. If I can create happiness, you can create happiness. You can, and you can do it now. 15 years ago, I was flat out broke. I had lost everything, and my prospects for success looked rather slim. Even as late as 8 years ago, in 1970, I did not own much more than the clothes on my back and a well-used car. But wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me start at the beginning. I was born on January 10th, 1940. That makes me just 38 as I write these words. Somehow, it seems longer than that. But perhaps that is only because my surroundings now are so different from then. I was born in a small old farmhouse, my maternal grandmother's home, during a raging blizzard in southeast Oklahoma. There was no phone to call the doctor, so my dad and grandfather drove the old truck through deep snowdrifts to the nearest town. They even made it back with the doctor in time, so I'm told. Anyway, I arrived safely and became one more mouth to feed. Life was truly hard at that time. Food was scarce, jobs even more scarce. Both my parents had come from large rural families, miners and sharecroppers. Both knew work early. At the age of 6, my mother took over the care of the younger brothers and sisters, cooking for and mothering the little ones as they arrived. Even after she married my father at 18, she continued to do the weekly washing for her parents, brothers, and her sisters. Washing then, by the way, was done on a scrub board. In a poor family of 9 children, everyone works. My dad and his twin brother were the youngest of 7 children. Having been born and raised on a small farm, he always knew work well. I admire my parents for the courage and strength with which they faced hardships. A man who would walk 18 miles to court a girl. A woman who willingly scrubbed by hand 5 loads of clothes a week to help her family. Somehow, in all the disadvantages and hardships, they made life meaningful and beautiful. Amid the work and the poverty, they found joy, laughter, and spiritual strength. This is the environment into which I came and grew. My parents gave up farming before I was even a year old, moving to California in search of a better life. We settled in the Torrance-Redondo Beach section of Los Angeles. Here, I would spend all of my youth and teen years. Both my parents worked long, hard hours to make ends meet. My most vivid memories are those of being teased, of being called an okie, of feeling less than, of wearing secondhand clothes. I remember vividly one incident of sitting in the car, which was definitely old even then, waiting for my mother. An old man, probably a drunkard, burst out laughing when he saw my sister and me sitting in that old jalopy. A pair of ragamuffins, he called us. I still can feel the shame I felt then, the sense of helplessness and anger. There were good memories, too. The time Mom did not even have a dime until payday, so I prayed for a dime for ice cream and found one. The happiness of getting a bike, even though it was used and came 3 weeks after Christmas. The thrill of my very first car, bought and paid for with the money that I had earned myself. Shortly after my 18th birthday, my youth ended. Life became abruptly more serious with marriage and then the arrival of a son. I held a variety of jobs. Ambulance driver, store salesman, gas jockey, anything I could get. I had a poor self-image at this time. I lacked confidence and self-esteem. I had barely made it through high school only to emerge into the world where I was qualified to do nothing but the most menial tasks. To top it off, I moved my family into the only place I could afford, the old rundown house in which my parents had lived in when they moved from Oklahoma. I hated that place. It made me feel poor, helpless, and alone. Negative thoughts welled up inside me. I had indeed hit the bottom, and it would be a long time until I would find the strength and knowledge to pull myself up. Perhaps in defiance, or perhaps in desperation, I turned to a heavier involvement with motorcycle gangs. Drinking, smoking, violence, and women became a common occurrence. This is a time I do not like to talk about, and yet you need to know that I have been there. Maybe you've been there too. I was lucky enough to avoid serving time, though perhaps I deserved it. But I could not avoid the prison into which I had placed my mind. I was a prisoner of poverty, bad luck, circumstance, and the words, "I can't." It's hard to say when the picture started to change. I tried night school and didn't make it. I tried working as a salesman in a sporting goods store and made it to manager. I tried racing cars and injured my back. I tried to buy and run a filling station and lost everything. I tried Toastmasters and discovered I could speak in public. I went to Bible college and was politely asked to leave after 1 year. My marriage fell apart. In the divorce, I lost custody of my 3 children. Ups and downs, one step forward, then 2 steps back. My life had little direction, but I knew one thing for sure. I would not live forever in poverty. I would not knuckle under and say, "That's life." I would not accept things as they were. I would, instead, fight. I would keep at it until I found a way. At this point in my life, I met a man who totally changed my way of thinking. This man was my tutor. He was a man who came from humble beginnings, as I did, a man who applied many of the basic concepts taught in Psi to achieve a personal and corporate growth rarely matched in this world. Although he was controversial in many aspects, his ability to recognize and communicate the concepts helped enrich thousands of lives. When I first met my tutor, I hated him. I looked at him and said to myself, "I'm smarter than he is. I'm younger. I've got a higher IQ and just as good an education. But that SOB has everything that I want, and he did it on his own." That really made me mad. He had what I wanted and didn't know how to get it. I was jealous of him. For many months, I remained bitter and wrapped up in my own bruised ego. Finally, I got far enough away from my ego that I decided I would learn his secret. I would be successful. And this is what I did. I learned his philosophy, then I lived it. I checked the validity of his philosophy in my own life. Now I find that I am the one who agitates and angers people. I dress expensively, fly planes, own expensive cars, and live outlandishly to some people's taste. Why? I do this and must do this to validate the concept, to think is to create. If that concept is true, and if there is any validity to desiring liberty, then should I not create the best? Why create a tent when you can create a mansion? If I am indeed a master of the techniques, then should I not demonstrate them? "For the tree is known by his fruits," said the great master, and I agree. Talk is cheap. I believe that if I'm going to talk about to think is to create, I had better produce the results. I'll demonstrate the concept so that you know for sure you can also. At the time I met my tutor, I was working for a large direct sales organization. I grew to understand my tutor. I started doing much better. I made money, quite a bit of money, to my way of thinking at that time. I moved up in the company and gained responsibilities. Around me were men and women who mouthed the philosophy of my tutor, but did not practice it. I didn't understand. Why were they there? Why weren't they fired? I thought the higher they were, the closer to my tutor, the more perfect they should be. I expected perfection, and I was shocked when I discovered that there was no perfection, not even in my tutor. But he understood. He understood that if a company is to grow, it must start with people where they are. Then they will either grow and change, or they will eventually leave. It is still that way. It is that way now with Psi. The Psi staff is not perfect. Rather, they are growing and changing. I am not perfect either. Sometimes I have negative thoughts and make mistakes. The truth is that I am still learning, and I always will be. My success in sales, my rapid growth in the company, and my perfectionist attitude did not help me win any popularity contests. In fact, I made many very powerful enemies. The result was a scandal involving dozens of people with me as the fall guy. I tried to get my tutor to intervene. He would not even see me. I later heard his reaction was, "Let's see how he handles this one." If a man has commitment and courage, he will fight his way out. My tutor knew this, and he knew also that the only way I could grow strong was to fight my own battle. If you are a leader, you may lose the battle, but you will win the war. I lost the battle, but good. I crawled home and did nothing for a month. During this period, I met and later was to marry a dynamic woman from Boston, Jane Corwin. That she stood by me and supported me through these battles was a measure of her strength, commitment, and love. Then an opportunity came in a roundabout way from my tutor to attend a consciousness-raising seminar taught by a company in which he had an interest. Jane and I went there together. We had never before attended anything like that. It was freaky and far out. In fact, I slept through at least half of the class. I knew my tutor also wanted me to attend the instructor's class for this seminar, which, in my opinion, had done absolutely nothing for me. I didn't understand why, but I did attend. 2 weeks later, I still didn't understand what the whole thing was about or why I was there. "The reason why you are there is not important for you to know now," was the message I got. That was typical of the messages from my tutor. He never sent a kind word, never a word of encouragement, never a stroke. He understood that I needed more than strokes. I needed challenge. For only through confrontation and challenge could I obtain rapid growth. So every time I saw him, he challenged me. He dared me. He nailed me to the wall. He nailed me on my personal life, on my divorce and remarriage. He nailed me on my spiritual understanding. He nailed me on my business practices. He even nailed me on the concepts with the concepts. 2 weeks after I had completed the instructor's training, I put together, totally by myself, a class of 20 and taught that class according to the set plan. The lectures were short. I didn't have much to say about the outlined topics of reincarnation and psychic phenomena, and the breaks were long. Sunday night, I went home and became very, very ill. Gradually, I understood that I had violated the principles. I had stolen from those people. I had given them meaningless lectures. They had come in feeling less than, and I had sent them out feeling better than. That day, I made the commitment to myself that I would never teach that class again. When I saw my tutor, I told him what I've just told you. He responded that he felt there was a great deal of good in the class, but could understand how I felt also. "What would you do to improve the class?" he asked. So I suggested some changes, mainly adding his philosophy into the lectures, then tailoring the cycles to the philosophy and the realistic problems of the students. I also suggested including some type of tests to show people where they really were in understanding the philosophy. He said, "That sounds good." Then he asked, "Do you believe in the philosophy?" I said, "Yeah." "Well," he continued, "what do you do with the concept if you don't like something? Change it?" I was nailed to the wall again. "Be sure you understand that one, so when you write it, you write it right. If you know a better, a more positive way that is synergistic and win-win for everybody, it is your responsibility to change it. Now, be clear, this has nothing to do with your likes or dislikes, with your ego, your programs, or personal tastes. This concept is much deeper than that. It has to do with what is right. It has to do with what is synergistic." I understood and said I would try to put together a new course. And I assumed from the way the conversation had gone that I had my tutor's full backing and support. I went off on top of the world thinking I had it made. I taught workshops, trying a few new ideas, and in all my spare time would work on the new class. Finally, after about 6 months, I was ready to try it out. I presented the idea to the management and was very politely told where to go. How could I, an unknown, uneducated, un-everything, have the audacity to suggest an entirely new class? They wouldn't consider trying it, so I ran back to my tutor, asking for his intervention. "Nope," he said. "I ain't about to endorse it. If it's the truth, it will survive. And if it's not, then it won't." I was crestfallen, to say the least. "To be proven, that class needs to meet resistance. And I'm going to help you by giving you resistance. I won't even acknowledge I know anything about it." So it was back to pleading and bargaining until finally I got permission to test the class. And test it I did. I went to the lowest sales area in the direct sales company for which I had previously worked and gathered 30 bust outs. 30 of the lowest salespeople. If the class were going to work, it had to work for those who needed it most. I had to show those people who were at the very bottom the how-to of getting to the top. If those people understood and were motivated to apply the concepts in their lives, if they actually produced the results in their own lives, then and only then, the class could be termed a success. And nobody could deny the validity of either the concepts or the class, I thought. To make a long story short, the class was a tremendous success. But I was not a tremendous success with management. Sometimes you can do everything right, and they still do not like it. Instead of letting me continue in the test area and expand from there, management assigned me a new territory out in the boondocks. Nevertheless, the class succeeded there too. Then another assignment to a failing area, and the struggle to build up again. It seemed that just when things started going well, they squashed me. Later, I would learn that my class and I were producing the most students and the biggest successes in the entire company. Why did they resist the class so? Why would they fail to acknowledge my successes? Why? I don't know. Not all things can be explained by logic and reason. In June of 1973, my tutor was killed in an accident. I mourned his loss, but I did not and do not miss him. How could I? Using my levels in workshop, everything continues. Conferences, meetings, rapping back and forth daily. These still take place, only not on the physical plane. People ask, is this imagination? Or talking to spirits? I don't know. Does it really matter? From using my levels in workshop, I gain strength, peace, and insights, and that's what's important to me. With the death of my tutor, most of the ties that held me to the company with which I was working were broken. We were still going in different directions. It was time for a parting. To have proselytized other employees or to have stirred up the field by publicizing my resignation would have been a violation of the principles. That I could not do. I could not take, even when I had been taken so many times. By taking, I knew I would lose. You cannot steal from a thief and justify it. Givers gain and takers lose. That is the law. If you steal from a thief, you will lose just as much as if you stole from an honest man. So I quietly left, simply disappeared. 3 weeks later, PSI, originally called PSI Mind Development Institute, was formed. Over the dining room table in my home, PSI became a reality. It consisted of two people, my wife and myself, $200 capital, and a dream of the way people could live, a dream of the way a company could be. I began building and teaching classes while Jane handled the business end. Later, she would become a fantastic instructor in her own right. But in the meantime, she was my chief writer, organizer, and doer of odd jobs, not to mention also being a wife and a mother. We were a team, a synergistic one. Very soon, others joined with us. PSI was on its way. We did pretty well the first year. We did very well the second year, and even better the third. And the fourth year was incredible. Each year, the growth has been phenomenal. But what pleases me most is not the number of employees PSI now claims, but instead a simple little thing. Many of the people who started with us are still with us, through all the ups and downs, and we've had our share. They have been able to perceive the truth in the concepts and apply it to their lives. PSI is a better way of life. It works. I get so excited when I think about that, that I want to shout, it works! Even after 5 years, it still works. In the first few years, everything Jane and I made, money-wise, was plowed back into the corporation. This was the only way to keep up with PSI's growth and to assure that PSI World, the nonprofit corporation, could stand on its own. This is now achieved. PSI World owns and governs itself. It has outside investments, interests, activities, and continues to work synergistically with PSI Inc. PSI Inc. continues to give a portion of everything it makes, a portion of every class fee, to PSI World for the furthering of peace, prosperity, and liberty for mankind. As PSI Inc. grew and prospered over the years, gradually my lifestyle became gracious, very, very gracious. I have gained liberty, access to travel, freedom to do the work I choose, greater areas for creativity and lack of worry. I don't worry about losing everything I have, even the corporations, because I know that if I lost all today, I would just build it again. Liberty is first of all, and most of all, a state of mind. However, we do have concerns and problems, challenges. Without these, PSI could not grow. Two PSI World projects have had very special meaning for me. and I would like to share them with you. These are the Prison Project and the Orphanage. First, the prison. The prison program began with the idea that all men can know freedom and liberty if only they can free their minds. To give freedom to men in prison would seem impossible to many. I chose to see it as a challenge. The target of the challenge was Hawaii State Prison, one of the most violent, hardcore prisons in the country. This prison made the newspapers almost every week with violence and corruption. In fact, it became so bad that the National Guard had to be brought in to control the situation. Here was the challenge, a real test of the concepts in the class. It was also an opportunity to pay back a debt. You see, I owe my tutor a lot, and the only way to pay him back is to serve others as he served me, to free others from their mental prison bonds. I can really relate to those men in prison. I played a pretty violent game when I was a teenager in my 20s. I did a lot of wrong things and things of which I'm not proud. Those men in prison got caught, and I didn't. That's the truth. They are serving time in a physical prison. I served years and years in my own mental prison. I had to free myself from mental bonds, and so must they. So I began in Hawaii State Prison in the spring of 1976. It began with a class of the 24 toughest men the prison could offer. They were tough, and they still are tough. Just try to slide by or overlook a concept, and you'll see. They will nail you to the wall. From the first class developed a second, and a third, then advanced classes. To date, over 200 inmates have participated in one or more of the PSY programs. The results are history, printed in black and white in newspapers, in legislative committee reports, and in testimonials. Hawaii State Prison has changed. Gone is most of the violence. In its place is communication. Gone is the frustration, hostility. In its place is self-esteem, commitment, and direction. That's hard to conceive, isn't it? It's very hard to conceive, and yet it exists today. You can see it for yourself. The prison superintendent, Anton Olim, expressed it this way. PSY has had one of the most positive effects on Hawaii State Prison that I have seen in my 36 years at the institution, including the last 10 years as superintendent. The men of the prison program are very special to me. They are truly my brothers. I love them very much. It is my desire and hope that the prison program can be expanded into other prisons, juvenile homes, and correctional institutions. There is tremendous interest, but the problem is funding. So far, PSY World has had to carry the burden. PSY World has completely financed the expenses for all the prison classes, instructors' fees, travel expenses, and all the materials. Requests have been made for state and federal funding, but it has not yet been forthcoming. At times, it reminds me of that situation I had years ago. You can do everything right, and still they won't support you. In time, the prison program will expand. I can see it clearly in my mind. And because I can see it, I know it will happen. To think is to create, is the truth. The prison program has a special message for you, even if you never step inside a prison nor meet an inmate. It has significance for each person inside. That significance is this. If these men who have touched the bottom can pull themselves up, you can. If those who are confined can find liberty, then you can. If they can, you can. The second of the PSY World projects, which is so dear to my heart, is the Casa Hogar Alegre Orphanage. The orphanage is not owned, run, nor in any way controlled by PSY World. We just support it by sending as much money and materials as we can. The orphanage is in a rural and mountainous area of Mexico and is run by American missionaries. They are beautiful people with a beautiful dream. That dream is to take all abandoned and mistreated children of the world and turn them into healthy, self-sufficient, happy children. If you ever get a chance to visit the orphanage, you will get to see the dream in action. Many of the children are special. Mongoloids, mentally retarded, physically handicapped, or emotionally disturbed. They are special because they need a special love, care, and devotion. I am proud to be able to say I support such work. And you can be proud, too, because whether or not you know it, every time you supported PSY classes or activities, Every time you recommended Psy to a friend, you have helped. Helped with the orphanage project, with the prison project, and with every Psy World project. Today, in 1978, as I write these words, Psy classes are taught in major cities on both East and West Coasts and in Hawaii. Classes are also taught in Canada under the name of Wilhite Success Seminars. Due to a name conflict with another company, we are unable to use the Psy name in Canada. Soon, other areas of the world will be opening Psy classes too. Already, PSI materials have been translated into Spanish, German, and Japanese. New Psy classes are being developed, and old ones are being upgraded. It is an exciting and thrilling time, and there is more to come. The story of Psy has just begun. Time is, indeed, relative. For my first 30 years, I barely lived. I mostly existed. I had everything going against me, yet now I have a great degree of liberty, and I have everything going for me. In just a few short years, everything turned around. I have lived more in the past few years than most men live in a lifetime. It is not the quantity of years, but the quality of years that counts. Will this be a quality year for you? It will be for me. I want you to think about something. Something that I had to learn the long and hard way. For the first half year or so, I put my tutor on a pedestal. Everything he did I saw as perfect. I tried to be like him in every way. I almost made a god of him. Then one day, I saw he was just another man. He put his pants on one leg at a time. He did a lot of wrong things. So I totally blew him right off that pedestal. I became disillusioned, negative, and sometimes even hostile. My production, I was in direct sales at the time, dropped drastically. After a few weeks of being down, I started thinking of what the man did right. And he did a tremendous amount right. I blocked the negative things, the wrong things, from my mind because they really didn't matter. The mistakes did not matter. It was the right things that mattered. I asked him once why he let these mistakes be known, why he didn't cover them up. Wouldn't you be more effective, I asked, if you had a more clean-cut image? I am who I am, he responded, and I am not creating an image just for you. I had to take a look at that. I had to come to grips with that. It forced me to do some wrestling with me to think about my image. What should it be or not be? Finally, I came to realize who I am and where I was. Next, I looked at where I was versus where I could be. My life gained perspective. With perspective came insight. I realized that I must always continue to grow and be constantly changing. Now, I find myself changing and becoming more positive every day. I just keep working on me. And I do not worry about what has approval out there. I do not try to hide my mistakes. It was just as wrong to put my tutor on a pedestal as it was to downgrade him for his mistakes and for personal habits which I disliked. So now, I try to see other people as they are and for the good that they do. This was a hard lesson I had to learn. There is a price for all things. There is a price for every Psy class. There is a price for every success. I have never had anything free in my life, not ever. Nor have you. Wisdom is being able to determine what the price is when it comes. Sometimes the prices are absolutely astounding. If you read carefully this chapter, My Life Story, you will see that I have paid some very high prices. It is between the lines and behind the successes. I have not told you everything explicitly. Part of the price you must pay for any knowledge is to discover it for yourself. I cannot do it for you. I cannot pay your price. You must learn your own lessons. You must make your own mistakes. You must pay your own prices. You must create your own life story. The Book of Attitude.